Genesis chapter 21, verse 14. We're going to look at this, and we're also going to look at something in Genesis chapter 16. And really, I'm just going to give you a singular thought here that came across my mind when I had considered this passage some time ago reading through here. And tonight is a good night to give it to you. Genesis chapter 21, verse 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, that's Ishmael, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. This is after the birth and weaning of Isaac. And the water in verse 15 was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Our text, verse 17, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation.'" Verse 19, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer." So there's Hagar in the wilderness, wandering around until she's eaten the bread, drunk all the water, and they can't find any water, and there she is. And while she's sitting there contemplating her own death and the death of her child, Ishmael, the Lord shows up, the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Well, what do you think aileth thee?" You're God. I'm out of bread and water. We're dying of thirst. I mean, you know, the question should have been obvious to the Lord, but and when it's that obvious to the Lord and the Lord asks, it's kind of like asking Adam in the garden, "Where are you?" Right. That question was not for God's benefit to try to figure out what she had to say about it. That question was really for Hagar's benefit. "What aileth thee, Hagar?" It's kind of like your friend, you say, you know, they say, "What's the matter with you?" As if to say, if anybody shouldn't be feeling bad, you shouldn't be feeling bad. What's up with you? "What aileth thee, Hagar?" Well, what aileth her is that she thought she was going to die, and she thought Ishmael was going to die. That's what was wrong. Now, what led to all this is back here in Genesis chapter 21 in verse 9. After Sarah had Isaac and then weaned him, in verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. You know, Sarah waited a long time to have a baby. 90 years old, and now you got Hagar's child mocking your child. This was not going to be a tenable situation. "Wherefore," in verse 10, "she said unto Abraham, 'Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac.' And this thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." That's Abraham's firstborn child through Hagar. And in verse 12, "God said unto Abraham, 'Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called.'" So God said, "I agree with Sarah. You're going to have to get rid of them. They got to go." So Abraham gave Hagar bread and a bottle of water and sent her and Ishmael on their way, as you read in verse 14. And when the bottle was spent, she gave up hope. She cast Ishmael up under that shrub. She went where she didn't have to see him, a bow shot away. You know how far that is if you've ever shot a bow. So she didn't have to witness him dying of dehydration. Now, the answer that God gave her and what transpired here should be very instructive to us. And I want to show you why. Do you have the scene? I mean, I don't have to develop it much more than this. You got a mother who's got a child that's dying. She's been kicked out of the house where she's lived for a long time. And, yeah, she is discouraged. She's in despair. And she is contemplating death not by suicide, but by simply just starving to death. Yeah, that's not a very good situation at all. But go back to Genesis chapter 16 and notice something. Genesis chapter 16 and look with me at verse 6. This isn't the first time that Hagar has been out of the house. You might remember back in Genesis chapter 16 when Sarah and Abram cooked up the plan on how to fulfill God's promise that they were going to have a child by getting Hagar involved. As soon as Hagar conceived, she despised Sarah. Verse 6, Abram said unto Sarah, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So Sarah dealt so harshly, Hagar just took off. And when she was, in verse 7, by a fountain of water, look what happened. The angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands." And she did. But that's not all he said. He said this, listen very carefully, verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly." What does that mean? Well, it's going to be a whole bunch, but how is this going to happen? "I'm going to multiply thy seed exceedingly." What does that mean? She's going to have a lot of grandchildren and offspring from whom? From Ishmael. "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude." So Ishmael's going to have a child or children, and from that is going to come over and over a multitude. Verse 11, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild," what? "Man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell," where? "In the presence of all his brethren." Do you see? This took place, look in verse 16, when Abraham was 86 years old. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? Well, 99 when she conceived, and 100 years old when, look in Genesis chapter 21, verse 5, 100 years old when Isaac was born, Genesis 21, verse 5. That's 14 years later. So Ishmael, by this time, in Genesis 21, is 14 years old. And verse 8, "The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned." I'm not going to go through all the detail, but I'll tell you, this happened when Isaac was 5 years old. Ishmael is 19 years old when she and he are out there in the wilderness of Beersheba. What did the angel of the Lord tell her when she was pregnant before Ishmael was born? "I'm going to do what to thy seed?" Was Ishmael married the day they were in Beersheba? No. It's interesting that he's called a child, but he's not yet 20 years old. You know, and all the children in the wilderness, remember, and out there when they left Egypt, everybody 20 years old and up got killed, and all the other ones didn't. So he said, "Your son is going to be a wild man, and he's going to dwell in the presence of his brethren. None of those things had been fulfilled, and all of those things were going to be fulfilled. In other words, God had told her before that there are going to be some things that will happen to you through him that by the time she's out there in Beersheba have not happened yet. Do you see that? You see that? Notice something else in Genesis chapter 21. In verse 13, God had spoken. We read verse 12, but in verse 13, he says this, also of the son of the bondwoman will I make what? A nation, because he is thy seed. So there's no question what the angel of the Lord meant back in Genesis 16. That boy, from him is going to come a nation of Ishmaelites. I want to ask you a question. Do you think it's possible that when God said, from that boy is going to come a nation, that when he's giving her bread and water and sending her out into the wilderness of Beersheba, do you think maybe there's a possibility he told her, hey, by the way, don't worry, God just told me there's going to be a nation coming from that boy? The Bible doesn't tell us whether he did or not, but Abraham is grieving over this boy being separated. And the mother of that child is going, and all they got is bread and water. You just gotta see that pat on the head. Don't worry, babe. God's gonna make a nation out of that boy. God told him that. I don't know if he told her, but I kind of think he did. Even if he didn't, God already said, I'm gonna multiply thy seed, right? And you say, well, what is all this about? Why are we studying this? Anyway. Do you know the picture? Do you know where we are? 19 years ago, God found her out there alone by a fountain, and he said to her, you got a boy in there, in that tummy. And that boy is going to grow up to be a wild man. He's going to dwell in the presence of his brethren, and from him, your seed is going to be multiplied exceedingly. She didn't believe that the day she's thrown him under the bush. She went a bow shot away to watch him die. She didn't believe that. If Abraham had told her to worry, God's going to make a nation, she didn't believe that either. She said, what are you getting at? Here's the thought. God showed up and said, what aileth thee? Why are you here acting so sad like he's going to die? Did I not tell you 19 years ago? I'm going to multiply your seed exceedingly. Do I lie? No. You know what the lesson is for us? There are things you've experienced in your life, in your relationship with the Lord, that you learned a long time ago. Some lessons you learned perhaps in a dark moment of your life. And one of these days, perhaps now or in the near future, you're going to face another dark day. And you don't want to forget what God told you way back then. Because what was appropriate then to get you through that is what you're going to lean on now to get through this. And if you forget that lesson, you're going to have a hard time, and God will have to show up and said, hey, what's this about? What's ailing you? You know, Naomi is a real good example of somebody who went away and forgot something that she should have known to be true. Listen, she didn't make up the decision to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go to Moab. Her husband did, and she followed. And the consequence is that she ended up with two dead boys, a dead husband, and a daughter-in-law who was a Moabite that returned to Bethlehem, Judah with her. And with all the ladies saw her and said, oh, it's Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. How dare you call me Naomi? I'm Mara. Mara means bitter. Mara means bitter. And what she said when they called out, I'll just read it for you. When they called out her name, she said, I went out full, listen, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? You see how God got the blame for all that? And that's what happens when you forget what you should have remembered from the things you heard before. What Naomi forgot is a promise that God made in Deuteronomy. He said this. If you want to see it, it's Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Look what God said in the context of telling you who He is. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Look what He says about Himself in verse 17, and then look what He puts in the context. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God and a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. In the context of all that great stuff he said about himself, he said, I just want you to know I'm not going to forget that widow. I am going to provide food and raiment. And while she's sitting there, she forgot what the angel of the Lord said 19 years ago. And she forgot what God does for the widow. And Naomi forgot that. You know, when she had Ruth with her, she had the best thing she ever had. Those ladies, after Boaz and Ruth got together and Obed was born, they said, she's better to you than seven sons. Brought me away empty. That's what she said. She had Ruth. Do you understand? You need to remember the truth that God teaches you along the way, because you're going to need it down the road. Proverbs says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Down the road. You'll come to a lesson like this today, and 6 months will pass, and then all of a sudden you have one of those, you don't want to forget what you heard today. You don't want to forget it. We all get in those places where it's like, now where's God? My life is over. And it's not. When you find yourself ailing, what aileth thee? Reflect on what God has taught you and live by the truth you have learned. That's how you get through it. That's how you get through it. And that's how they went on. Hagar went on. Ishmael, obviously they did. God fulfilled His promise. Don't forget those things. Those important lessons you learn along the way, those important sermons you hear along the way, that's what God's going to use to carry you through. He wants you to listen. He wants me to listen, believe what He said, and live by what He taught us. That's God, the great God. Father, thank You tonight for such an interesting thought that comes from Hagar in a moment of despair. She really had nothing to worry about, and You certainly took care of her. We're very thankful tonight for what we've read, and we ask You now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to bless our prayer time and our meeting time. For we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.